Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, it's Lani Ka'a'a here for Danny Yamashiro, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Aloha. Welcome to the Good Life Radio Show. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How can God use the life of a one-time drug addict and convict to save lives in the mission field? Our guest today, John Wesley Nakao, has been through a life of challenge, pain, isolation, but today he's a changed man. He dedicates his time and his resources supporting others who are going through the same thing. We pause to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you to Jesus Christ. There is always hope in him. No matter what you are going through, he died. He was put on the cross for your sins and mine. He shed his blood on that cross. And then he was buried, but he was raised on the third day. And today, through this show, he is calling you. John Wesley Nakao was born in the hippie days of the 60s. He graduated from the University of Hawaii at Manoa and did his graduate work in Japan. He has been a stockbroker and captive long-term care specialist. Today, he is the owner of Hawaii-based company Long-Term Care Advisors. He spends his free time doing overseas missionary work and sponsors several children living in developing countries. John, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you. Thanks for coming in. We really appreciate it. We know we have so much to cover to hear about all that God has done in your life. But let's begin at the beginning. Where did you grow up?
Okay. So I grew up in Honolulu. I was born in Honolulu, but grew up in Hilo. My father was transferred because of his job. He was an entomologist for the state. So I spent my elementary years there. And my elementary school was destroyed by the 1960 tidal wave. Wow. Where one of my teachers and the cafeteria manager died. And after that, I attended Hilo Intermediate in the 7th grade. And in the 8th grade, I was in this almost all black school in West Los Angeles. Wow. While I lived with my family, my uncle. And then I returned back to Honolulu, where my family was.
John, where were you when that tidal wave hit?
We were right on a oceanfront property, actually. So we went over to a relative's house and we stayed there. And fortunately, our house was not destroyed. Mm. The large front yard absorbed the impact of that tsunami. Mm.
Wow.
Well, and was there great loss to your family from that?
No, not at all. The house wasn't affected.
Oh. But you saw the experience of many others that...
Oh, yeah. Waikia Town, where my school was wiped out completely. Mm-hmm. The whole...
And friends, did you have friends and... relatives that were affected as well?
Not fatality-wise, but about 61 people died in that tidal wave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. I'm sure a lot of our listening audience can probably remember that and probably relate if it wasn't that one that's happened since on the neighbor island. So,
may I ask what caused you to move to California? Was this during your elementary school years?
Yeah, during my 8th grade year, I was invited to live with my uncle in the 8th grade. Mm-hmm. So I lived with him and their family, who took me in very generously in West Los Angeles.
Wow. That had to be quite an experience.
That was a big change from Hilo Intermediate. There were just a handful of us Buddha head kids in the school, and the rest of the school was largely a black.
Yeah.
But did you do okay?
Oh, yeah.
What a cultural difference, right? What a
cultural shock.
Shock, right. I did that in the 3rd grade. I went to an all-black school in L.A.
Oh,
and I was
that?
One of 5 non-blacks there, and it was a different year for sure. Oh. I can somewhat relate to that. So growing up, who was your greatest influence?
I reckon it was my mom because she went to a nominal Christian denomination, the Methodist Church, but she always... esteemed honesty. She grew us up that way. I remember once we went to the Hilo drugstore and I wanted a classic comics, the ones that depict certain books, and we paid 10 cents for it, which was the going price for a regular comic. And she discovered that mistake. She walked us back to the store and paid the 25 cents. Wow.
Mm-hmm. That is integrity. Right. Yeah. That is critical, right? Right. That is integrity. I love that it was modeled to you by your mom. Was there anyone else that, you know, influenced your life as you were growing up in your middle school or other years?
Not too much in my younger years, but I worked for a real estate investment firm, and my boss then became a Christian. He got rid of his mistress who worked in the office, and he started inviting me to services on Friday evenings. And so it was an introduction to Christ.
Is that how you became? How did you become a Christian yourself?
Slowly, I said a prayer one Friday night after service, accepting Christ in my life, but nothing happened. There was no change in my life. But later on, he introduced me to a church where I saw people, you know, having demons called out of them and dry heaving into these brown paper bags. Wow. And so I was very entranced by that. I was involved in New Age seminars, and I wanted that, you know, to happen to me.
Wow.
So I started going to that church. And then actually, I always thought for a while that it was the deliverance, they call it, that I became a Christian. But no, it was this couple that took me aside and instructed me that, you know, I had to turn away from, acknowledge that I'm a sinner, turn away from my sins, and accept Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. Mm. And they prayed with me. Mm. And that's what how I became a Christian.
Mm. You talk a little bit about accepting Christ and it being different than deliverance. Can you talk a little bit more about that? It not being the same thing?
Right. Well, retrospectively, I discovered that Christians cannot be demon-possessed. They can be demon-oppressed. Mm-hmm. And to call demons out of, you know, Christians is not really scriptural. So it's a lot of suggestive psychology involved in that. If you go before somebody and say, come out of John, you demon of lust, or you demon of gluttony, and over, pretty soon you start manifesting, they call it, and start dry heaving in these bags.
Wow.
So it's not scriptural at all, I discovered. Moreover, the mother church in Sacramento, after a while, they started assigning ranks, military ranks, to different people in the church. And at that point, the local church cut off ties with them. So it was somewhat cultish, I would say.
But you did accept Christ in your life. And how old were you when that happened?
I was in college, so probably about, so probably in my late 20s, I would reckon.
That's awesome. And since then, you've started a walk with Christ. We really want to hear more of that. And so what difference had he started to make in your life when you accepted him in your 20s?
Well, Christ turned my world upside down, which to me is right side up. And I stopped using drugs, stopped smoking dope, stopped taking LSD. A lot of things in the world, like the music and the theaters, didn't interest me anymore. It's not that I had to hold myself back from it as a matter of will, but it wasn't of no interest.
The Lord just took that away from you.
Yes.
See, I love that. And so many people struggle with feeling like they have to make the change before they can come to Christ or before they can go to church. No. The Lord loves us so much that he will make the changes in us.
Right. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened in my life.
Interesting that you say when you first went to church, you felt that something, you did enact it, you know, you took an active step, but nothing happened. And then in another moment with a couple, was it the same experience for you, or was it really something that you felt there was a change, absolute change?
Well, I think more specifically, they explained to me that I have to acknowledge that I was a sinner and then turn away from my sins and make a prayer and renunciation of those sins and accept Christ in exchange for that. So I think that was the biggest difference.
So that active step of you responding to his invitation in a meaningful way was really what you felt was the difference that second time.
Right.
Okay.
That's John, amazing. Were you married at that time?
No, I wasn't. As a matter of fact, I had been going with my girlfriend for 7 years on Maui and no strong commitment. And after that, shortly thereafter, we got married.
Oh,
And she became a Christian as well.
And how long have you two been married?
So about 30 years or so.
Wonderful.
31 years.
That's amazing. You know, there's, we want to talk a little bit more, really about the changes that began to happen in your life, because today you're doing so many things and so many great things in service to the kingdom and in mission work. But really taking us back to, how your life began to change as you accepted Christ. I know we talked about that you were able to get married, and wondering what was the motivation. You were together for 7 years, and then in a few weeks after accepting, you were interested in a next step. And so we're going to take a break real quick here. But we really want to talk a little bit more, because I think there are people there that out there that are living with, you know, with their other half, and they're not motivated, and yet Christ motivates us into a different kind of lifestyle, and you could be an inspiration to somebody who's seeking that next step in their life. How do I get there? What do I do? So when we come back, we want to talk a little bit about that. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, this is Lani Ka'a'a in studio today for Danny Yamashiro, here with our co-host, Suzanne Maurer. And we are here with a special guest. This is John Nakao. What a great story of a life that's been changed. And, you know, we talked in the first segment about your childhood and about growing up and having different traumas happened from what happened when you were young and losing your entire house in Waikea, and different others being truly affected. 61 people dying in the 60s, and then being able to move to Los Angeles and just being placed in an absolutely different culture. And the shock of that and the adjustment that was needed to be made. But most importantly, what we talked about is how the Lord sort of introduced himself and invited you to become his friend. And I think where we left off is we started to talk about what changes happened and how you walked through those changes. And so you talked a little bit about your girlfriend, but let's kind of talk a little bit more about what was the response that she had when you came home or when you came to her and you said, something's changed.
Well, we had been going together for a long while with no real definite commitment. But after I came to Christ, we started attending church together. And shortly thereafter, she came to Christ as well. And maybe a couple of years after, we decided to get married. Mm-hmm. Finally. So I was finally able to, in good conscience, make that commitment to her.
Had she grown up in a home that wasn't a church-attending home? Did she have any background in faith?
Not too much. I think her father, actually, her father had a heart condition that he ended up in Kaiser. Their family is from Maui. And I prayed with him to accept God in his life at that point. And he became a Christian.
Wow.
And he started attending a church on Maui after that.
Isn't that wonderful?
But prior
John?
To that, they weren't church-going family.
Mm. Wow.
What I hear, and I'm wanting to just talk about a little bit more, is you became a follower of Christ, and then you had a heart to share immediately with the people around you. What was the motivation to share with your girlfriend, to share with her father? What was the motivation?
Well, that's what Jesus tells us to do, right?
Yeah.
We want to not only go to heaven, but bring as many people as we can with us.
Such a step of courage. I mean, I don't know every Christian who would say, oh, yeah, so I accepted Jesus and I went home and I told all my family, and, you know, because that's what, you know, it seems like it's second nature to you, is all I'm saying.
I love is people say you can't take it with you. When you die, you can't take it with you. But you can. And you've just shared that beautifully, John, that we can take those we share Christ with. And that's so powerful.
Right. Yeah.
I hope that's a real encouragement to our listeners.
Yeah. The Bible tells us that he who wins souls, or she who wins souls, is wise. Mm. And that I like that saying from Paul, I have become all things to all men, that by all means I might win some.
So good.
Sounds like Philippians.
So good. So as you've shared with your now wife and her father, how has God blessed the married life, your life together?
We started out very humbly. We had a studio near the freeway, and our wedding bed was actually this fold-out, trifold Japanese foam mattress. And we had our honeymoon at the Kui Lima. We were on a limited budget. We had our reception at Kauai Hau Church, and I think the catering was like $6, I think, per head from this lady in Kuli'o.
You're dating yourself now.
And so that's how we started out. We always wanted a house, so we decided when we were renting Noah, instead of the studio, a two-bedroom house, that we would pray. Every time we would pray, we would ask for a house. And then one night, I remember paddling in from surfing at New Valley. It was dark. I usually stay out pretty late. And very calm, very glassy water. And it was like a lightning bolt that I felt God speaking to me that I should go ahead and buy my aunt's house. She was a widow. And by the way, her husband, who was black and half Cherokee, I led to the Lord too. He was on his deathbed, emphysema, because of his smoking. He quit for 15 years, but it caught up with him. It was terrible. It was like he was slowly smothering. Every so often, phlegm would come up and there was a suction device near the bed. We had to suck out that phlegm. It's a terrible thing. It's a good witness to quit smoking. But he couldn't speak, so I told him about Christ and how he had prepared a place for us to go. And so I prayed for him accepting the Lord. He nodded that he wanted to accept Jesus. And so that revelation from the Lord, eventually we ended up moving with my aunt. They had no kids, intending to buy that house, but it was eventually gifted to us.
Wow.
So that prayer that we prayed for a house was granted to us.
Let's pause here. That's amazing. That's a. What do you mean? It was gifted to you. How did that happen?
Well, we paid her a sum and provided for her needs, but you know, eventually she gifted that house to us.
Wow, beautiful.
Such a blessing from Jesus, right?
So Amen.
Good. And other ways that your life as a married couple has been blessed as you move into this house. Now you own this house. And what else happened?
Well, we lived there for 23 years. And it was a fairly big house, two-story, 3,000 feet home, big yard.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of work as we grew older. So we decided to downsize. And by circumstances, we went into a building that, you know, it was beyond our means, actually, that the Lord made a way for us to secure that.
Wow.
Now, was that building for your home or for your business?
Well, both, no, because I have a home office.
Okay. Okay.
And is there, and your God is blessing your marriage and the two of you together, and there in other ways, have you seen him just really manifest his miracle work in your life?
Well, to this day, every Friday evening, we go out to either Waikiki. I alternate, basically, to Waikiki, Kalakaua Avenue, and there's an evangelistic outreach where there's preaching. We do the music. Wow. Or I'll go to Pier 36 or Pier 17 and minister to fishermen there, largely Filipino, Vietnamese, or Indonesian sometimes. Churches come in, they provide food, clothing. There's a medical team out there providing medical care, and I'll do the music for that as well.
So you're a musician as well.
Well, I should be a lot better than I am with all the years under my belt.
John, tell us a little bit, though, about those fishermen. Why are they there?
These fishermen are from foreign countries. They don't have the visa to get out of the confined areas of the pier. It used to be that they, believe it or not, had to stay in their boats, not come ashore. But that was relaxed, and now they have confined areas that they can stay in. They go out to sea maybe 25 days a month, come back for, you know, 5 days or so. They get paid about $500, which to us would be slave labor. But back home in the Philippines, Vietnam, that's you know, quite a sum. They can buy real estate. They can send their kids to school, that sort of thing. So they can make a living like that.
Wow.
But it's a hardship being away from their family, sometimes for, you know, 9 months or a year.
Now, approximately how many fishermen are we talking about? Are we talking about 10 or 30?
There are numerous boats that come in.
Okay.
So Pastor Jerry Saludes, that you've interviewed before, he started this ministry. So he's provided churches that come in to provide those things. He's provided cell phones to the fishermen that they can contact their families.
Wow. Good stuff.
Whereas before they never would have been able to.
And who are you ministering to in Waikiki?
Just the passersby, tourists,
okay.
Japanese tourists, and, American and Canadian tourists largely.
So I love that. It just seems you have this a life and a heart to share Jesus, to evangelize. What got you into going to Waikiki, first of all, the ministry of going to Waikiki, and how do you prepare yourself for that?
The coordinator of that, James Farmer, I don't know how we got connected. He just invited me. They needed a musician, so he I don't know how he heard about me here. I forget.
What is it like to be in Waikiki and to evangelize? Is it a welcome ground for you? Or
for the most part, honestly, the people are busy going to and fro. So they just pass by, not too much of a response. But we pass out tracts, we pass out New Testaments, we do music, and there's some street preaching too. So it's real street evangelism.
Wow. Very good.
At this point, do you have any homeless people that listen or are in the area?
There are not that many, although we used to do a lot of homeless outreach on a weekly basis.
I'm encouraged to know there aren't that many, because I hear stories of how there's so many homeless in Waikiki,
right,
but not in the area where you are.
Right.
Okay.
And then as you continue to do the ministry in Waikiki, the doors open up for you to minister on the piers and to get involved as a musician as well.
Right. I tend to alternate different locations.
Mm-hmm. And what is the sort of the best part of what you do in that ministry when you go out there? Is it the music that you get to share, the worship that you get to share, or meeting the people? What is the best
part? Well, it's all of that, actually.
Yeah.
It's the music and seeing these fishermen that are befriended by local people here. Filipino churches, Vietnamese churches. By the way, the food is excellent.
we have
home, authentic home-cooked Filipino or Vietnamese food. Mm-hmm. That alone is worthwhile for the ministry.
And does your wife participate as well?
No, she does not.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately.
No.
Yeah. And it's to see these fishermen who otherwise would be isolated welcome into our culture. And that's largely the doing of, again, Pastor Jerry Saludes and the volunteer churches that come there.
So good.
And they do this regularly on a weekly basis.
Mm. Is it pretty much Friday nights?
Friday nights. I think they go out Tuesdays as well.
Okay. Mm.
And the docs come over, too. There are about six doctors participating, treating these fishermen.
Mm. Isn't that wonderful? Because I'll bet there are really very few of our listeners that are aware of that ministry. Mm-hmm. And so thank you for sharing
and
that.
And to boot, they bring out students, medical students or pre-med students that want to participate.
Wow.
And it's sort of like a field training for them, those people, those students.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Now, every time these boats come in, is it always different? Or do you make friends and keep connected?
Yeah, it's different fishermen from different boats, but you know, largely the same people unless they go home.
That's amazing that you find that and that you there's always a place. There's always a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's so good. I love that your heart is just to share Jesus. It's very it's a very simple but real walked out way that you live. We're going to take another break pretty quick here. We just want to continue to talk about that because I think that I read that you also do mission work. And you support
on an infrequent basis.
An infrequent basis, but you support youngsters.
Yeah, seven kids through Rural Vision.
And we want to talk about how you got involved with that as well, and what kind of joy that can bring to somebody to get involved in that way. It's a need for sure, and we are not ever doing enough, are we? But we want to encourage others, especially those listening, to maybe get involved as well. Stay with us. We're with John Nicol. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back. This is Lani Ka'a'a with Suzanne Maurer, having a great time in studio, visiting on and off the clock. Mm-hmm. We've been talking to John Nakal. Such an amazing life of giving, spirit of evangelism, gift of evangelism.
Yes.
Sharing every gift, resource, talent. Just to change lives and let people know, as he says, that we're called to bring others along with us. And he is doing that and walking that out every day, every week, every year. Such a message and an encouraging one as well. We talked a little bit about your time in ministry with the ministry that meets the boats of those who can't come on shore. Mm-hmm. Who would have think? I mean, really, that there is actually a lot of people that probably affects that then turn around and go back to their country and they can share as well. So you're changing lives not here in Hawaii, really. I mean, you are. But
also,
you're
impacting
starting.
Their families back home,
right.
hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And they can come out. They can come out of their boats, but just to a confined area.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're also doing that in Waikiki. Right. Mm-hmm. You're sharing it with those people walking by.
Yes.
Really busy trying to have a good time and trying to enjoy our islands. But they might take it home as well. So an instigator, a fire starter. That's what I'm going to nickname you.
And I love that you have shared already two people that God allowed you to share Christ with that accepted. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there are more. But that's such a blessing. Mm. I mean, the greatest joy to me is to know that God used me to impact Christ in someone's life. And you're doing this and knowing it. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, as somebody who has that heart to evangelize, you also own a business and you deal with families and you work with a very important issue in long-term care. Making sure that there's some comfort level, some security for these families.
Yes.
How has that been a ministry? How has that, how have you been able to minister to those people? And have you been able to also share Jesus with some?
Right. Well, I've been the owner of Long-Term Care Advisors. We're a network nationwide of long-term care specialists and life insurance as well. And since I've been doing this for 20 years, right now, a few claims are coming in from these people who need long-term care.
Wow.
You know, some of them are cognitively compromised or physically invalid. And so a lot of times the family need help in terms of making claims for this for their benefits. Mm-hmm. So I'm able to help them out in that regard, comfort them, many times pray with them over the phone or in person.
Mm-hmm. And has I imagine that it's affected your staff, and maybe are you working in? Is that a ministry as well?
Yes, I don't have a staff. It's just me, actually.
Okay.
And slowly, it's evolving. I can see, although I didn't anticipate it when I started the business, that it's becoming a ministry of sorts to provide comfort, guidance, assurance for these people in need.
Mm-hmm. I would think, John, that it's extra special to have this type of a business and be able to help people that are looking toward the end of their life. And financially, I mean, today there are too many people who lose everything in the cost of end-of-life care that don't have long-term care. How did you get into this? How did you get started with long-term care?
Well, it's rather a long story, but I was involved. I was a pharmaceutical rep for about 10 years and got let go from the position. I became a stockbroker just for about a year, and I was let go from that position as well. Mm. And then I really thought that was a calling from the Lord, by the way. I was so excited about it. I took the Series 6, you know, the stockbroker's test. It's like 5 hours long. So it required a lot of study. And then I saw an ad in the paper. General Electric was looking for people to market long-term care. So I started with them. I stayed there for a year. I did quite well. And then I went to John Hancock for a couple of years as a captive agent. We could only sell John Hancock products because it was more diversified. And then I discovered I couldn't insure some people that had health concerns, different health concerns. So at that point, I became a broker to represent all companies. When I first got started, by the way, there were over 100 companies offering long-term care. Today, there are less than 10.
Wow.
Because of the risk involved. The major players, are they don't offer that, although they're on the contracts. But that's the risk involved, 70% risk, people living longer. The average lifespan of a dementia patient is 8 to 10 years, just like President Reagan.
Wow.
So it's, you know, fraught with risk.
I had no idea. That's really surprising to me because it's such a real need. And so now we're down to, like, are you saying in Hawaii there are 10 companies?
Well, these companies are all on the mainland, so.
Okay.
Yeah, less than 10 companies.
And for just to explain this to our listeners, what is long-term care and what is important about having it?
Well, when people get, let's say, into an accident, have stroke, dementia, the cost of care is very expensive. So this is insurance that will pay for those costs. And again, about 70-75% of us will need long-term care. I've seen statistics, in fact, after age 65, 79% of women will eventually need long-term care, mostly for dementia. Over half the claims coming in are now for dementia. It's very common, unfortunately.
And the reason why many of the big players, you say, are pulling out of offering this type of insurance is because of the risk or the
risk,
cost?
The risk involved in it. Although they'll continue to honor the contract. The risk of people living long, having protracted illness that require long-term care.
So it's going to cost them more money to offer that insurance than is beneficial to them?
Right. On the other hand, they have reserves that are required by law to make good any potential long-term care claims.
Okay.
That's how they get their ratings, the AM Best ratings, A plus, A rated. Also, the industry underestimated the retention rates of these policies. Once people get long-term care protection, they tend to hold it. It's a 98% retention rate. So that's a potential liability for the companies. Also, historically, low interest rates have made revenues, you know, much lower for these companies.
But for those that come to you and you're able to service that, it just gives them a sense of security, right? I mean, they must come to you with a sense of anxiousness, and you walk them through this process to bring them some security in this life. But then you're saying you're also able to speak to them about security in the eternal life as well. So that's ministry coming to through your marketplace work as well.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Am I correct, John, that maybe it's the awareness, but it just seems to me like dementia, Alzheimer's, statistically, so many more people are being diagnosed with that. Is that correct?
It's true because people live longer. Females in particular are genetically predisposed to dementia. Two-thirds of Alzheimer's patients, they're women.
Lonnie and I are just sitting up a little straighter now. I didn't know that.
Did you just say two-thirds?
Yes, of Alzheimer's patients.
Have a higher risk of Alzheimer's?
Or well, they're actually Alzheimer's patients.
Wow. Wow. So
because the long-term care for them without insurance, the cost is just...
It can be devastating. So it adds a lot of peace of mind. We always tell people that you're better off having this coverage and not using it than later on needing it and not having it. That's a big problem.
That's exactly right.
And nowadays, too, we have what we call linked benefits programs. It combines life insurance with long-term care. If they don't use the long-term care benefit or partially do, the balance will pass to their beneficiaries tax-free. So that's a good solution. Especially for younger people or people with existing permanent policies.
That's a very good solution. So you're, you Your work allows you to interact with these families on very deep and personal levels, and your ministry allows you as well to get very personal with many people, strangers and now becoming friends. As you continue, you've also added another gift that you give, and that is that you sponsor kids in developing countries. And so was that something that was born out of a personal experience of doing mission work yourself, or how did you get involved there?
Let's see. I think I developed a sense of compassion toward the poor, especially with my mom. Wow. She was always concerned with people's welfare, and especially those of the poor. And so even before I was a Christian, we sponsored a kid through World Vision. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I set up countertop displays. Any oaf can do that. So to the audience listening out there, you can do something to help people improve their lifestyles considerably. Mm-hmm. And totally, I collected, once I got a note from World Vision, over $15,000 from these countertop displays. But anybody can do that.
Wow, that's amazing.
Help families in developing countries.
That is amazing. So when we come back, I really want to talk more about, you said anybody can do that, right? It doesn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't take a lot of time or money, but we can all get involved to do something about those that are in need in developing countries. Yes. Let's talk a little bit more about that, and let's encourage those that are listening. Maybe you're out there and you're listening. What can I do? I have very little time. I have very little money. What can I do for the kingdom? There's lots you can do. If you just want to, you see it and you hear about it, and there's a need you can fill. When we come back, we'll talk more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a here with Suzanne Maurer. We're in studio today for Danny Yamashiro. We're here visiting with special guest John Nakao, and what an inspiration. This is a man who just takes every opportunity to serve Jesus, whether it is evangelizing, going on to Waikiki to tell the tourists about Jesus, playing music, using his gift of music to share the love of Jesus, going to the piers, talking to fishermen who can't come into our islands because of their limitations, but still reaching out, going out to the edge of the islands, to the boats and to the harbors, to the piers, and then doing it in his job as well, really ministering to families who are interested in the security of the of long-term care and what that could mean to keep their families safe. And now we talked about this last segment, getting involved in supporting kids in developing countries. I mean, it may seem random and all over the place, but really it boils down to a heart to serve others in any and every way possible. And I think that that is the simple call of everyone, every one of us who mm-hmm. knows Jesus. Mm-hmm. And John Nicol, you definitely represent that today. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for spending your day with us and sharing a little bit about what you do.
It's my pleasure.
And at the last time when we were talking, you were saying, it's so easy to do. Anybody can do something for Jesus. Just get involved. I know it does seem so easy, but there are many listening today who don't consider it easy, who consider it the scariest thing they'd ever done. So what do you say to somebody who wants to get involved, knows they should, wants to be obedient to the word of God and to Jesus, but hesitates for whatever reason? What do you say?
I would say follow the word of God and adopt a spirit of boldness and courage, mm-hmm. because as the word says, there's no other name given to men under heaven by which we must be mm-hmm. saved. So we're called to let people know, share Jesus with other people, mm-hmm. especially as the opportunity presents itself. Mm-hmm. By the way, going back to those kids, even as an unbeliever, we sponsored a kid. Then as we became believers and as God blessed us, yeah. We had about six. And I said, well, we might as well make another one with a seventh. That's the Lord's number. So now we sponsor seven kids in different developing countries mm-hmm. that improve not only the kids' lifestyle, but the family and sometimes the village too. Mm-hmm. They're able to go to school, you know, buy uniforms, start a business mm-hmm. perhaps. Mm-hmm. And make themselves self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm. Now, are your children all through World Vision?
World Vision, but there are others too, like yours, Compassion. So anybody can do that.
That's right. That's exactly right. Go back, though, to the displays you were putting in the stores.
Yeah, there used to be displays for World Vision that would be set up in stores that people could put their change in. Mm-hmm. And so over a long period, over by myself, $15,000 was collected for World Vision.
So you would get the kits and take them to the stores and ask them to display them? I mean, how did you do this?
Yeah, I'd ask owners, can you display this? And sometimes they'd display it ongoing or for a month or so at the big stores.
And then would you go back and make the collection?
Yeah,
Tell us a little bit more. How did you get started with that, and how can someone do that?
Well, they don't have that program anymore, but they did have it, so I volunteered for it.
I wish they still had it. I was getting anybody excited. Anybody can do
it. But regardless of whether that program's available, there's always a way to get involved.
Yeah, and I believe because of that, the Lord has really blessed us. You know, mm-hmm. the Bible says, he is kind to the poor, lends to the Lord, and the Lord will reward him for what he has done.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's just beautiful. You know, you're gone on mission work. You've
yes.
gone to countries. What countries or what places have you gone to?
Let's see. I've been to China on mission there to teach English, because you can't actively proselytize in China, right? So we taught English in this high-end school where the kids dorm there. They have a cafeteria and everything. And also in Nepal. In the mountainous areas near the border of Tibet, the people speak a sort of a dialect of Tibetan mm-hmm. To evangelize and do medical missionary work there. Wow. You know, very basic. Mm-hmm. And also with Surfing the Nations, Tom Bauer's organization in Indonesia, going to different places, Muslim villages, mm-hmm. for example.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so share with us one of your experiences in the mission field? What's been maybe one of the most memorable?
I think 2016 it was. I went to Israel with Kathy Bailey. Mm-hmm. She has a ministry out of Maui called Hawaii-Israel Alignment. It was a mission trip. I took a tourist trip there about 22 years ago, and it was completely different because we were entrenched, embedded, they said, with the people, exposed to the culture. We worked with them. We stayed a week in Jerusalem. We spent a day working in a kibbutz.
Wow.
We spent a week in another kibbutz, and we ministered to at-risk children, largely Ethiopian, who came over during the famine in the 1990s because they were Jewish. They were embraced by the state of Israel to minister to them in song and just friendship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that really opened my eyes to the Israeli people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it gave me an appreciation and love for their culture and the people
mm-hmm.
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a remarkable country, isn't it?
It is.
You almost have to go there to really experience it. It's just, I have such a deep respect for the Jewish people and their hard work and just their creativity and the beauty. Very special.
So today you support these kids. Are they in various countries or are they all in one country? Or?
No, they're in various countries.
And are they different age ranges?
Developing countries, they're basically elementary school kids because they age out of that World Vision program at, I think, about 18 or so.
Okay, okay.
And do you write back and forth?
Sometimes, very infrequently. I should write more, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. It's when, you know, we hear about it all the time and we hear of the need all the time. What would you say to somebody who has been thinking about making this kind of commitment to help a child? What would you say to encourage them to take that step?
Well, look into it. You know, I think the lack of awareness limits their participation in programs like this because not all, most of the world does not live like the United States, as you might be aware. If you've traveled abroad, especially in third world countries, the standard of life is quite a bit lower. So it's easy when you see that to develop compassion for these people and especially for children that are limited because of the impoverishment of their countries or their situation.
Yeah.
And so it just takes a little bit money to help one person. If everybody did that, more people would be able to elevate themselves, become self-sufficient and improve the level and standard of living of their countries.
Yeah.
And it really is not only life-changing to that child, but even their family.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, sometimes the community.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
To see that type of support and love, and it's biblically based, and it's just a wonderful, many wonderful programs.
Yeah. But an amazing, in all of your ministries, a fire starter, you know, a jump starter, because these children are attached to families who are going to come to know the Lord because of these children, because of a sponsor like yourself.
Yeah, an arson for Jesus.
You know, I'm looking at you and I'm seeing that very picture is no matter where you go, you touch a life, you change it, you have the courage.
You know, I'm named after John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. And the Anglican, he was born in England, and the Anglican Church was wondering why he was attracting so many people. And they asked John Wesley that. He says, well, all I do is set myself on fire and people come to watch me burn.
There you go. That is why your name. Oh, that is a great. That is a great.
That was a prophetic.
Prophetic
naming.
Word that you were given that name. So, yeah, Firestarter. It's an amazing. I want to, before we close, because we're about to, I want to ask you, there are people that are going through a tough time right now. And maybe they know the Lord. But they haven't taken that step of courage. You talk about the courage to serve, and they want to, and they want to be able to be like a fire starter, like yourself. And then there are others though that they don't know Jesus at all. And as someone who's shared with so many his love and who he is, would you do that for our listeners? Would you share? Who is Jesus, and why is it important that we have a relationship with him?
Well, religion, you know, is man's way of trying to reach God, but relationship is God's way of reaching us. Mm. So it's important in this life that we establish a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus. Mm. And all it takes, like the Bible says, is believing that he died for your sins, that he was raised from the dead, and if we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. In other words, we'll come into a personal relationship with Christ that God always wanted for us. Mm. We cannot earn that by our good deeds, because our good deeds are insufficient. God is perfect. We'll never reach that level of perfection. So God in his mercy sent Jesus to die in our place, to pay the penalty for our sins, the bad things we think, we say, we do, to pay that penalty, to have forgiveness for our sins and enter into that personal and eternal relationship that God always wanted for us.
Thank you.
So I would say be bold and open your hearts to Christ. Taste, the Bible says, and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you so much. Inspiring words from John Wesley Nicol. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so yourself, it's the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Visit us at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get to know Jesus. Click on that link and we have a lot more information. If you'd like to help us with your financial support or to make a donation, you can also go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click on Partners. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think." It is always a blessing to be with you. Thank you so much, John Nicol. Until next time, along with our guest coordinator and co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Antai, web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a'a here in the studio for Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.